Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, 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 happy Wednesday. It's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You can hear us on the ESPN app, or, of course, you can watch us, hello, friends, on Twitch, if you'd like to see our faces.
Or
how you doing?
You can watch me adjust this microphone.
You are aggressively adjusting the microphone.
Borderline sexually. Well, it needs a little juju. This thing, it just fell off. It just went droop, right?
Oh, did it really?
Yeah, it just drooped all over me. I mean, listen, the show just began, microphone. You got a job to do. You got to stay at attention for 2 hours.
Show up. Be professional. The Astros showing up for sure. Last night in Arizona.
Yes, they did.
They are now 4-1 in the season. They look good. I loved what I saw yesterday. I think you and I are both on the Jose Siri train.
I love that crazy dude.
He's fun.
He's fun. He's out of his mind. And generally, Vanessa, across sports, if somebody plays with the reckless abandon, I don't like it. Like, I was one of the few people that was annoyed by the way Brett Favre played because I thought he threw too many interceptions. Mm-hmm. I, in basketball, get very annoyed with guy who chucks up a bunch of shots who's not good at three-point shooting as he thinks he is, James Harden. But in baseball, when you have a legitimate crazy person on the base paths, it is fun. Whether it's Jose Siri trying to steal second and for some reason looking at home plate the entire way and then getting gunned down, or it's Jose Siri just continuing to run on what should have been a single, legging it out for a double, then running down a ball in the outfield, hitting a home run. All right. I mean, look, if you're waiting for Jake Myers to get back out there, I would like to see a little more Jose Siri. He's crazy and entertaining.
He is fun. He adds that little spark that I think you saw from, I can hear us on our Twitch. He adds that little spark that I think you saw and that you might miss from like a George Springer or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yes, but he's not super talented like George Springer. Still, though, he is just so damn fast, too. That's the other thing I like about it. Someone who really can outrun just about everybody on a baseball field. You don't see that as much anymore.
So Todd, the show on our Twitch line says, Siri just brings that energy you need in a game where nothing seems to be going your way. I agree.
Yes, and I think he helped you out a whole lot last night, as did Michael Brantley, who somehow one-upped Jose Siri with an incredible catch down the left field line, but also went 3-for-5, and he had this go-ahead hit.
He's over that spot up the middle. Gosh, he can hit.
Base hit left field. Siri around third. Here comes the throw by Peralta. Not in time. Astros take the lead. Michael Brantley, a three-hit night, is 2-1 in the ninth.
And you add what Brantley was able to do after a nice start by Luis Garcia, you get to a point where your bullpen has to come in the fifth inning. And I guess they're managing his innings the rest of the year. And the bullpen, which I think we've all had some very warranted concerns about going into the year, you know, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, not bad. Not bad. Or excuse me, 1 earned run. I liked a lot of what I saw last night, especially on a night where it's not Alex Bregman clubbing the ball all over the yard or it's Altuve continuing to struggle, that you got some nice performances from other guys on your team, and none of them were necessarily your star players. So, yeah, nice. 4-1. And, I mean, I'm just really excited, Vanessa, after this afternoon's game to see the Mariners in town. See the Astros take on the Mariners. I really want to see how that goes. I want to see if the Mariners are legit.
I liked what Dusty Baker told Julia Morales after the game. She brought up, you know, hey, there wasn't a lot of offense. There was some towards the end. And Dusty Baker just basically said, you have to win a couple close ones throughout the season. And there are going to be games where there's not a lot of heavy offense contributing. And so he seemed pleased with it. He didn't seem, you know, worried about the lack of offense at all. But I think this is a really fun team. Jose Altuve is still struggling.
Yeah.
And one thing that Mike Stanton brought up, and it seems logical, and maybe I'm just trying to rationalize Jose Altuve not doing well right out of the gate, is that they did have a shortened spring training. Mm-hmm. Jose Altuve is older. So maybe he's needing a couple of weeks to get into this, like, fully ready to go mode.
I hope that's the case, but I thought that Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank yesterday on the Killer Bees brought up a point that we have to, at the very least, think about. And in a nutshell, and I don't want to put words in their mouth, but it's the idea that Altuve is past his prime. That does not mean that all of a sudden he has washed up or a bad player, but is he apex guy that led the American League in hits for 4 years in a row? I think it's fair to say he's not quite that guy anymore. The real concern is, okay, well, this is clearly his absolute floor. And he did have, it was an error, but it was a double in last night's game. Is this something that you are expecting more of, slumps of this nature? Again, it's only been 5 games, so don't want to freak out too much about it. I think it's fair to expect maybe some more like this, because as they laid out, he's not throwing 100, if you will, for lack of a better term. He's not the hitter that he once was. That's just natural. That's what happens when you get into your 30s. And look, it's not necessarily happening for Michael Brantley, who's 35, but for someone like Jose Altuve, I think that is an interesting thing to wonder about, whether
Jose
or not he's going to be able to get back.
31 years old, turns 32 on
very
May
soon.
6th.
Right.
I think it's a legitimate point. And you look at how much he's done, and I think it's a fair point that the Killer Bees make that he could be past his prime. But, man, a team without Jose Altuve adding that spark when it's needed the most is really hard to imagine if you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, it's gross.
We have some sound from those Jose Siri moments last night.
Yeah.
Let's cue those up.
Jose.
These were awesome.
Jose, can you see Jose running fast? I'm done.
Oh, ball launch. Deep to left center field. Jose Siri puts the Astros on the board with a home run. Well beyond the left center field wall. Siri hits his first of the year.
That was off Madison Bumgarner,
too. Awesome. Yeah, and we just had a viewer that said Madison Bumgarner looks pissed after Jose Siri pimped that bomb he hit off him. Yes, he did. If you went back and watched the broadcast, he did not look happy.
And that is not someone I would ever want to mess with. Madison Bumgarner terrifies me. He of all the pitchers in baseball these days, I don't know what it is about him, but there's something missing that makes me feel like if I were to accidentally step on the wrong side of him, that he would deal some good old-fashioned Nolan Ryan justice to me. And like he would charge me in the batter's box. Like he would run at me and perhaps take me down like a bull or something.
Jose Siri made things happen last night, and it was exciting to see. Of course, we always want to hear from you guys, so call in. You can text us as well. That number is 713-780-3776. You can, of course, tweet us. I'm at SportsVanessa. He's at Gallant Says, and our producer behind the glass is Sean Mapes. What are you expecting this week from the Astros? We're going to have a little home action. Woo!
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, this is like their longest road trip of the season. Apparently,
they're
opening
long.
Up the year. Yes. Well, I mean, something we're going to do a little bit later. It is Wednesday, and at 11:15, we're introducing something called Wine Wednesday. So it's things that you in life are just annoyed by. And I'm sick of these 8:40 first pitches. Like, get out of here. You're Mountain Time or Pacific Time. I don't even know what you are, Phoenix, but you can kiss my butt. You could die. I hate that I keep on having to watch these games and they end at like midnight. I know, I'm turning old. I'm 33 years old. It's starting to get difficult to stay up for an entire game and not fall asleep. I made it through this time, that's for sure, but I'm sick of these late games. I want games to start at 7 like they're supposed to. Why does the Astros get cursed with being stuck in the American League West despite being in Central Time Zone? Ridiculous.
Well, last night they were saying that on the postgame show. It's Astros after dark, right?
Astros after dark.
It was very late. It was like 12:10 by the time. And you know what? That is late.
Yes.
That is late. And why do we have to cater to West Coast people?
Exactly. They don't matter. They don't care. Like people in Arizona, do you think they care about that? No. They care about going to Arizona State and being strange and perhaps chasing the same thing. That is kind of what Phoenix is all about. Phoenix is a party city. They go to Scottsdale. They don't give a damn about baseball.
Phoenix is also a good city to relax in, though. Like, the weather's... Yeah,
it's... Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, but you can go hiking. You can lay by the pool.
Yeah, I'm going to go
Not
hiking.
Not all of us black out every night.
Whoa, hang on. That's only on Friday and Saturday. Some of us hike from bar to bar, Vanessa. That is... Just like hiking.
From bar to bar?
Yeah, I get my walking stick out, I wear my boots, and hopefully, you know, that walking stick keeps me up the rest of the night.
Noah Yordan Alvarez last night, I don't know why I said his name weird. Yordan Alvarez had an illness last night. Concerned, not concerned?
Is it the Scottsdale flu? It's the new Miami
Again,
flu? I mean, look, if I were in Scottsdale, I would not be trusted. I can't be trusted in Scottsdale. It's good that they have a day game today.
Is it the women in Scottsdale?
Yes.
Okay, what about the women in Scottsdale?
Arizona State. It's like a high degree. Listen, I know I sound like a creep right now, perv. It's fine. We're open here. What I am. Arizona State, per capita, that's where a lot of these folks in town come from. And it's like, you know, the Alabama of, I think, colleges, as far as
So you like college go. Girls.
I have no comment on that
Paul,
matter. I'm a
33-year-old
man. I have no comment
Paul,
on that matter.
You know what?
I like, you know what I like? I like 40-year-old librarians, Vanessa. I like people who are mature and who have it all put together, unlike me. That's me.
Well, I like older guys and you like younger women. So when people ask why we're not dating, that's our answer. All right. So
technically, though, that would classify for both of us. I mean, we would be in each other's wheelhouses, right? You like older guys.
Yeah.
I like younger women.
Yeah, well, I'm not in college, though. I'm 26. I'm a little too old for you. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of issues involving women, much more serious in Washington. But even though Dan Snyder has done all of that, it may actually be taking money from billionaires that screws them over. That's next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Madison Bumgarner did rodeos.
Yeah.
He just told me this at the break.
This is something that he was found to have secretly been doing at the beginning of the 2020 baseball season. He was doing it under an alias. He was just going to rodeos and doing it. Like, the guy's a certified badass. So, yeah, you better be careful if you're going to do a little peacock action while you're running around the bases. But guess what? Again, Jose Siri is a fun, crazy player. The guy just seems to have zero bleeps given about catchers perhaps about to gun him down at second base. I can't believe he tried to steal second while looking home the whole time. Like, that's
crazy, man.
That's the cockiest thing you could possibly do if you're a fast guy.
All right. So in the NFL, we've seen this situation unfold over years, plural, of Dan Snyder just being a bad person would be a simple way to put it. Greedy, selfish, sexist, some racism sprinkled in there.
You could just make these accusations about just about every owner in the NFL, probably, in a way.
No, I don't know that other NFL owners had their cheerleaders filmed naked. For season ticket
That
holders.
Is fair. I suppose I'm being a bit of a jackass and assuming those
thing.
Assumptions. But when it comes to the things...
The greediness.
Greediness, things that billionaires do, he definitely is checking the billionaire bingo card off in just about every single possible
yeah,
way.
Yeah, the greediness for sure. But some of the things that Dan Snyder has done are unacceptable. However, it is stealing money from other billionaires that may actually end up getting him axed.
I don't trust this, Vanessa, to happen. I don't think that there is something in place that will ever get owners to cannibalize their own. I think
really?
That there's always in the back of their mind a thought that if I go in on this owner, that this could happen to me down the road. You know? In a way, the idea of snitches get stitches. Mm-hmm. They are a good old boys club. Mm-hmm. if you decide to turn your guns on Snyder, even if all 31 owners want to do it, want to take him out, they're always going to be paranoid that the exact same thing could happen to them, that they might establish precedent for a way that they could be pushed out of ownership. The last time we saw it was with Jerry Richardson and the Carolina Panthers. But there's also the idea, I mean, Dave Tepper is the most wealthy owner in the NFL.
By a long shot.
So, I mean, theoretically, that was just a sale that was advised because Jerry Richardson was creepy and was constantly saying, how about you wriggling those jeans for me? I mean, that's what he was doing. You know, sometimes you need to put it to actual words just to emphasize how weird the guy was.
Here's the details on Dan Snyder. So, he's alleged to have committed, and this came out yesterday, financial crimes, including failing to report ticket revenue, and here's the key, withholding refundable deposits from season subscribers. And he allegedly reclined, let's see, the team retained up to $5 million from 2000 season ticket holders, while also concealing shareable revenue from the league, according to the letter. So he had two books that he was keeping. The one book was the true book that he and like one other person in the world saw. And then there was the other book that was quote unquote juiced. And that book falsified records and made it sound like a Kenny Chesney concert made more money instead of a football. This is real. A Kenny Chesney concert made more money instead of a game so that he could keep more money.
He reported ticket revenue for, I believe, another either game or concert as, I think it was a game though.
Well, it was, no, it was two. It was concerts and games because it was the Navy game and then it was the Kenny Chesney
concert. The Navy game, right, yes. Yeah. That was the one where it was Navy Notre Dame and they just reported that. I mean, the guy's devious, clearly. So, yeah, it is revenue sharing that's going on in the NFL. You would think that an ownership of a team that at one point was the most valuable in the NFL, it wasn't that long ago. I think that they were a team with the leg up on the Dallas Cowboys not too long ago. It's incredible where things have gone. You would think that that person would not need to do things like that unless they're perhaps some sort of carnival barker, a charlatan, someone that is perhaps faking their way until they make it. Some of the things that have been said, too, it's kind of amusing to see because now all of a sudden Congress is getting involved. Thanks, Congress. We really need you to get involved in forcing an NFL owner out. I'm sure if you're in D.C., you're probably feeling a little bit differently. If you're a fan of this organization, you want Daniel Snyder gone. But a representative, Raja Krishnamoorthy from Illinois. Okay, maybe focus on your own state. Quite frankly, as you go through the allegations against Daniel Snyder, it reads like a description of some organization out of The Godfather. And not an NFL team.
Yeah, it's a little dramatic.
Well, of course. It's another congressperson. The committee's letter, this is another congressional person, to the Federal Trade Commission about the Washington Commanders' fraudulent financial practices is damning. So they're all grandstanding right now and probably buying themselves some votes by saying, hey, we're hard on billionaires. Hey, we're hard on this bad sports owner that nobody likes. That's what's going on the congressional side of things. I guess that's the only way to get somebody out, is to convince enough people that are in positions of power like that to go after somebody who is very low-hanging fruit.
Keep in mind, on February 3rd, Dan Snyder was hit with new sexual harassment claims.
Oh.
Six more former employees of Washington's NFL franchise had proof and legitimate concerns about sexual harassment. This is in addition to the already existing sexual harassment claims, the article from the Washington Post. And then on top of that, he's just made bad football decisions, but that's neither here nor there. What is it going to take to get this guy out? What is it going to take for people to understand that he is so scum and so disgusting that he does not deserve to own an NFL franchise?
Well, get caught on voicemail calling your lover racial slurs, perhaps. That's what happened in Los Angeles Clippers. What was his name? I don't even remember him anymore. Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling, that's what happened to him. You need, I guess, to have him on the record saying some of the things that Jerry Richardson was alleged to have said. Like, these are the two prime cases of an owner being forced out. But otherwise, Vanessa, I don't see a means to do it. I have never owned a home before. I know that a lot of people do, though, that listen. And maybe you have a homeowners association. I think that is just routine practice for anybody who owns something. And generally, people that are living
in a neighborhood together. They will pay a fee, and they will be involved in decisions that make sure that none of the houses fall into disrepair, start looking ugly, driving right. property value down. You would think that NFL owners would, just given the fact that they're all partnered together, they're all tied together with the league revenue that they share, you would think that they would look at some of these owners and say, no, you have to do better than this. There are 31 other versions of us that can pressure you into doing things or withhold things from you. But that's all I can really think of, Vanessa, as a means to actually get guys like this out. There's no relegation. There's no real punishment. It's technically their property. So, you know, in a country like the United States,
God, this guy sucks.
Capitalism is king. Like, Dan, what are you going to do?
Yeah, Dan, not Paul.
I know. I sound like I'm sucking up the fat cats right now, though. But this is more just my depressed realization.
You're being realistic.
Look, and it's totally different with Cal McNair. Like, Cal McNair, I don't think he's done anything. He's just bad at owning a football team.
He is bad at owning a football team.
Right, and we'll see if maybe things get better in the future. I doubt that they will, but he's not doing anything wrong, per se. He's just not good at that.
And let me say this about the Texans.
Can't be forced out for incompetence.
Because I am critical of them when need be. I will say this about the Texans. They don't bring in players that have domestic violence issues. And people make fun of their moral stances.
Buy your season tickets. We don't do that.
But I do appreciate that as a woman.
Right.
And so I'm
That's
very,
fair.
Very, give credit where it's due. And the Texans definitely deserve credit for the way that they handle certain things.
Legitimately
Not
only
all
that.
The things on the football field and some, but
yeah,
you know, the way that they handle morality and all that should be applauded.
We do have a call, 713-780-3776.
Chad.
713-780-ESPN. Chad, what's going on? You want to talk about Daniel Snyder?
Yeah, hey, how are you?
Doing well, Chad. Hi. What you got?
So I don't know if you remember back when RG3 was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the Redskins, they gave up, like, you know, every draft pick they had to move up to get Robert Griffin. The funniest thing I remember after that was the next time the Redskins played the Rams in St. Louis. I had moved to St. Louis. The Rams walked every draft pick that they got from that trade out to the middle of the field for the coin toss. And it was like the biggest FU moment to Dan Snyder I've ever seen in my life. It was hilarious that the Rams did this to him, because in my opinion, that has ruined the franchise.
Well,
from that day forward,
you know what,
never
Chad?
I
get that they never recovered from that. I feel like the way that they handled playing RG3 and appreciate the phone call. I feel like the way that they handled playing him in that playoff game on their dump of a field in a game where his knee was busted and he should not have been out there. I feel like that is what hurt them, because I mean, he was the rookie of the year his rookie season. He was awesome with that first season. It seemed like all of a sudden Washington had actually done the right thing as a football team in that moment. So that is pretty funny that they bring out all the players there. But if RG3 had never gotten hurt, are we having this conversation, first off, about that specific moment? Second off, are we calling Daniel Snyder a bad owner? Had they nailed it at quarterback, despite a article from 2010 that listed A through Z, 26 different things that Daniel Snyder had done? This is in 2010 that had been something that would annoy Washington fans. Like, there's been plenty of things over the course of his tenure here. But if they had nailed that RG3 pick and he stayed healthy, I don't know that we would be talking about him the way that we talk about him.
Coming up, we're going to talk more about arrogant owners, including some pretty incredible moments from an opening day in a city I used to work in. But first, let me tell you about TGS Insurance. Listen up if you own your home. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a big hassle. It doesn't have to be anymore thanks to TGS. They've built a new system. It instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send a single text message, not sex message. Take your phone right now. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask for your address. So all you have to do is send your home address back, and you're going to get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect. And guys, their average customer from last year saved over $870 on their home insurance. That's a lot of cash. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it has ever been. So you're only one text away from big savings. One more time, guys, take your phones, Text MONEY to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Alongside me is Paul Gallant. Our producer is Sean Mapes. And we're rolling along on a hump day. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Good. We're hanging in there. Cincinnati was good yesterday. Cincinnati's opening day. If you're not familiar, I
Joe Burrow
there.
Was there. He threw first pitch, so at least they got that right.
They did get that right. So opening day is really big in Cincinnati. Like, as in, it's like renowned as one of the best places to be for opening day. Cincinnati loves their Skyline Chili. They love their Reds baseball.
Beautiful ballpark.
Even when the Reds aren't doing well, that's the place to be. So there's not a lot of things that could dampen opening day in Cincinnati. There's just not. It is a joyful day. We used to, this TV station I worked at, we would be in the parade, thousands of people. A lot of the schools give kids the day off. That's not an exaggeration. It's huge. So there's not a lot that could dampen the day in Cincinnati except Phil Castellini finding ways to just be completely. And we were talking about arrogant owners in the last segment, right?
Right. So he is a son of an owner.
Right.
But he is the president of the Cincinnati Reds, and he was on...
And he will own the team.
That is true.
When dad dies.
Yes, that's generally how it works, assuming that he, unlike Marge Scott, doesn't have everything from her closet exposed as being, like, really, really racist. He was the previous owner of the Cincinnati Reds. But he's not off to a good start. He was on a radio station in Cincinnati, and he was asked about a growing movement amongst fans. Because if you saw this offseason, I mean, they moved on from a lot of their key players. In fact, they're on the Seattle Mariners right now.
And they wouldn't say they were rebuilding. They denied it, which really irritated fans.
And I don't blame them for being irritated on that front. So the movement has started to maybe push ownership out. I'll give these guys credit for having the president on and asking him about it. His response was not smart.
We have the
Faith
audio.
Has earned 15 years of ownership. They haven't won to the extent that we would like, and so you had my faith, but you've lost it. Why should that fan maintain trust in you?
Well, where are you going to go? Let's start there. I mean, sell the team to who? I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, you want to have this debate? You know, if you want to look at what would you do with this team to have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system that this game exists, mm-hmm. it would be to pick it up and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so be careful what you ask for. You know, I think we're doing the best we can do with the resources that we have. We're no more pleased with the results than the fans. I'm not sitting here saying anybody should be. I'm not polishing any trophies in the office right now, and that's what we're here to do. But, you know, the bottom line is, and I do think we've had to shift the discipline. We've tried a lot of things that didn't work, and they came this close to working and didn't. Nobody's got to tell me it didn't work.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it.
Ugh, the worst. He did issue a statement a couple of hours later because WLWT, the NBC affiliate, had also had him on, and he said very similar things. So he, like, doubled down on television and radio throughout the day. The statement from Phil Castellini follows, "I apologize to Reds fans and regret the comments that I made earlier today. We love this city, we love this team, and we love our fans. I understand how our fans feel, and I am sorry."
You just threatened to move because you're being criticized.
Multiple times, on multiple media outlets.
I mean...
bad.
You're a douche. That's the only way to describe it. If you're that insecure about your place, then don't say anything at all. Just say, look, we're trying. Instead, to go on a spiel, be careful what you wish for. I mean, you can leave, I guess, if you want, and you'll probably find a decent following in another city that you go to. But, I mean, that is, as far as smaller market teams go, a city that really gives a damn. That's a team.
Oh, they're super loyal.
They have incredible success in their history. Now, it's way, way long time ago what we're talking about, the big red machine. I mean, they brought in Ken Griffey Jr., and that did not revitalize things at all when they made that trade with Seattle. What was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah, it was a long time.
Nothing has happened for them really good since then. So when you've had a long track record of just being bad and there's not a lot of good moments along the way, and this is your response to warranted criticism, you just are a loser.
During the Super Bowl, there was a funny meme that was super accurate where it was like LA fans versus Cincinnati fans. And it was like the Rams fans were like, it'd be cool if LA won a Super Bowl. And Bengals fans would say things to the effect of, my grandfather's soul will be revived if the Bengals win. Because it is a city that's had such bad luck. And terrible owners, cheap owners, and owners that say things like this. So it's absolutely crazy. And you talk about arrogant owners, Castellini, of some of the stories I heard, just certainly an example of that. There was a Texans player who had said something, and I don't want to say who it was because I think I remember, but I don't want to misquote, where he had said, like, somebody had commented on Instagram last season that they were losing, and this player was like, well, I still got my check in the mail regardless.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You don't say that.
People care. No, I mean, people care.
When I was working, Vanessa, weekends over at the Texans flagship, I remember I was doing a show once, and this was early on. I'm 22, and my co-host was a couple years older than me. Not a lot older than me, but still older than me. And someone texted in, like, these guys are a bunch of R words. And his response to that was, well, we're the ones on the radio and you have to deal with it. And I actually just transitioned by saying, oh my God, stop. Then I gave up the phone number. This is not how you handle criticism. You never, ever push back. When you're in a position like that, you're in customer service. You have to glad handle. It's hard to do it, that's for sure, but there's no excuse for saying that we can't compete in baseball. When you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, who have no one go to their stadium, who play in a dump, how are they competing for the majority of the last 20 years despite not making a whole lot of money? The A's never do anything in the playoffs, but are they not regularly competitive? Every couple of years, they put something together despite having essentially a shoestring budget. There's no excuse for a team like the Cincinnati Reds to say, well, our market is not one that lends itself to success. You play in the National League Central, a division that, let's be quite honest, has had a lot of teams going through similar problems for a long period of time. The Pittsburgh Pirates, for example. You should be able to rise from the ashes of that division. The Cubs aren't even playing that well these days, you know? Like, what is really in your way?
Speaking of rebuilds.
Right. St. Louis brought in Albert bleeping Pujols, for God's sake. So it's tone deaf, and it's depressing that so many of these guys feel absolutely comfortable, not just once, as you said, Vanessa, but twice, going on the air and saying, well, I mean, deal with it or we'll move.
Yeah, the media, very honest with Phil Castellini, and fans were outraged about how the comments were inappropriate. Some of the other stories you hear. I mean, it just goes back to the fact that some owners are so out of touch. And we are getting a lot of comments, I will say, on the text line and on the Twitch about how people, God bless Jim Crane, we keep seeing this. Yes, I mean, Jim Crane at least seems to care about the team. He seems to care what people think. You don't always have to agree with his decisions. Correa is the most recent one that people definitely disagreed with. But Jim Crane at least has a vision. He cares. And here's the biggest difference with Jim Crane. Jim Crane earned his billions. Jim Crane started out like poor. When you have owners, I hate to say it, but like Phil Castellini, what does he know about?
He is the lucky sperm club.
Right. Like, what does he know about anything?
That said, your favorite team's owner, Jim Irsay, I feel like, despite being a complete nut,
he seems
to be maturing a little bit, but you're right. Generally, you get put into that spot.
But Irsay's an exception.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, kind of not, but at the same time, in a way, he is. I feel like
if you talk to his former players,
I think he's gotten better.
Yeah.
I do think he has actually gotten better over the years. But for anyone who's watched the television show Succession, do you trust any of those little bleeps? Do you trust any of those little turds? Like, they're all like...
Like sons of...
Sons
like
of Logan
Roy. Heiresses, yeah.
That show's great. None of them are trustworthy. They're all completely messed up in one way or another. Whether it's Shiv, who is just like thinks she knows everything and doesn't know anything. Roman, who is just a perv. Or, Kendall, who is on the drugs. And don't even get me started on like the other son who basically is trying to run for president. Like,
I'm just nodding because I don't watch Succession.
It's a great show. You should check it out. In a nutshell, all you need to know is that generally, yes, the children of billionaires are usually spoiled idiots.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of shout out to Jim Crane on the text line. Jim would probably be the best owner in Houston right now.
Well,
I mean, who would it be, Tillman or Cal?
It's tricky with Tillman because I do think if we're talking about sports, Tillman has done an awesome job with the University of Houston. And
that's a good point.
So,
and he extended Kelvin and built the new.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's the owner of the Rockets. And I think there's a fair point to be made that the Rockets have totally gone downhill since he took over. But I also think that you have to point out that he has been a pretty big deal for the Cougs. And I mean, the basketball program and the football program have been pretty damn consistent over the years. And now they're finally in the Big 12. He does deserve some credit for that. But with Cal, you're like, oh, I mean, I don't even know what you do, man. Other than how you hire Jack Easterby and you listen to him. And play Xbox, I guess.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Cal McNair, definitely one of the owners where from the beginning things were like the fact that they named them the Texans. You can do red, white, and blue for the colors. It's not very original.
Well, it's, you know, it's the state flag of Texas.
Yeah.
I just feel like the uniforms, like, hey, we have more, our collars are thicker now. And we have a logo on the back of our jersey. Buy a new one today.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the XFL announces their coaches. A couple of Houston connections. That's next.
Oh, that's my fault, everybody. Sorry for that dead air. That must have been awkward. Guys, guess what? Guess what is happening this weekend? You want to be tuned into Showtime. You want to watch.
It was at the bottom, and I didn't see it either.
See, listen, I this is what happens when you're not used to doing live reads. Listen, guys, there's going to be a great match on Showtime this weekend. It's welterweight, and you want to see it because you're going to see in two fighters this weekend, and I can't find the copy in front of me. Here it is. You've got in Errol Spence Jr. and in also in this match, you have got two guys who want it, who had a chance to get it before, and who at this point in time, you know, we'll see what happens. But Yordanis Ugas and Errol Spence Jr., they're going to be fighting. It's going to take place on Saturday in Arlington, and you can only get it on Showtime. So, again, make sure that the pay-per-view, you tune in for that this coming Saturday on Showtime.
This is ESPN 97.5. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Hey, hey, happy Wednesday. We're rolling along. I'm Vanessa Richardson. That's Paul Gallant. We have Sean Mapes behind the glass. A lot of new football leagues popping up, new slash old, that is. USFL has been announcing changes and how they're going to operate. They're all going to be in one city. That is opposed to XFL. XFL is coming back, and I am so, so, so excited for this because I loved when the Roughnecks were here.
But they better actually allow fans into the stands. I'm still pissed about that this is not happening with the USFL, which is kicking off this weekend. But, hey, yeah, some of the coaching names that have been announced, have they actually paired them up with teams at this point in time? Because there's one
they
name.
They have not.
There's one name that I'm just so excited for.
Wade Phillips.
Hell bleeping
that
yes.
That is going to be so much fun. I hope he's the Roughnecks coach. What are they doing if he's not the
he
Roughnecks coach?
He better be the Roughnecks coach. That's all I'm going to say. If you want, and I want him to bring out his dad's hat. I want him wearing the duster on the sideline, looking like a complete boss, the same way he looked like before he went to Super Bowl 53, where he dressed up in a duster. He looks so badass going into that. And that's an iconic look. It's a shame that no one tries to pull that off on the sidelines. Everyone's wearing like the vintage like sports polos and not the vintage. They're just wearing sports polos and ugly stuff. Like at least Belichick's fashion forward by just not dressing like anybody else. He is dressing like someone that's, you know, going to Walmart after they haven't showered or something like that. But I would say that in the case of Wade Phillips, hell yes, he better be the Roughnecks coach.
Somebody's saying, why should I care about the Houston Gamblers? That's USFL. If they never play in Houston, that's what Paul and I have talked about.
I feel the same way.
It just makes no sense.
I hope that they do well, but I don't get why the first season is taking place in Birmingham, Alabama, and it seems like it's taking place in a stadium with no fans. Is this a decision? It seems like the kind of decision that you make well in advance, trying to be precautious due to COVID-19 or something like that. But at this point in time, like, is anyone? Are people still
no
following all the restrictions? I honestly, Vanessa, I really don't know because we live somewhere where things have been for us like awesomely free. But having lived in Seattle, I really don't know what's going on. I think I saw in Philadelphia that some mask stuff is coming back.
People got vaxxed, man. It just kind of, you know.
I thought it was over. I really thought it was over. And I figured they moved the USFL here. Anyway.
8 coaches. Wade Phillips, we mentioned. Bob Stoops. Terrell Buckley. Hines Ward.
Terrell Buckley. How about that?
Yeah. Rod Woodson, Reggie Barlow, Anthony Becht, and Jim Haslett. So some interesting names on there. Wow. Hines Ward, remember, Hines was interviewed for the Texans job.
I didn't know that. Hines Ward. Hines Ward survived Bane's terrorist attack at Gotham Stadium. A lot of people forget about that. He scored a touchdown during an act of terrorism where 21 other players died. People forget. The Dark Knight Rises. It definitely happened.
Yeah, Hines Ward interviewed for the Texans job. He is on this list. We don't know what team Hines Ward will be a part of, but we're hoping Wade Phillips will be here in Houston.
It's funny hearing all of those names, like Jim Haslett, Terrell Buckley. These are all, early 2000s superstars, essentially. Yeah, I mean, shoot, that was when Wade Phillips was at the top of his game, because Wade Phillips was coaching those Buffalo Bills teams that some would argue if they didn't get cheated when they played against the Tennessee Titans in the Music City Miracle, that team might have gone away. I got to say, though, I mean, they got what was coming to them because they benched Doug Flutie.
We have a call.
713-780-3776.
He'd like to talk about Bud Adams. Hi, Robert.
Hey, by the way, Vanessa, I wanted to express my condolences.
Thank you.
To losing your father last week. I lost my dad 5 years ago Monday. And so I know how you feel.
Yeah, thank you for that.
All right. Anyway, to my call, that's the reason why I called. The Cincinnati Reds owner kind of reminds me of how Bum Phillips, or not Bum Phillips, but how the guy got me talking about Bum Phillips to the Bud Adams. But for those that don't know, Bud Adams was the guy who hired Bum Phillips in the late 70s. But his tenure in Houston was, Well, Bud Adams' tenure as an Oilers owner before he moved to Tennessee was pretty stupid. What do you think about it? Because for example, he asked fans to vote on an extension of the Astrodome, and of course the fans voted for it because they said, "Hey, love you, Blue." A few years later, he asked for a new stadium because he still felt the Astrodome was dilapidated and stuff. Even back then, he said no. He threw a fit and moved the team to Tennessee. And I think that's what this guy is trying to do now.
With the Cincinnati Reds, you're saying
the Reds?
I'm thinking he's saying, hey, shut up, keep quiet, and, you know, root for us. Spend money.
The thing that would have to happen, though, Robert, they would have to find a stadium. And I wonder how many cities would be willing to build a new baseball-specific stadium. There's definitely got to be some. But what cities would be willing to do it? Would it be Portland? Would it be Austin? Like, there's a part of me that wonders, hey, how many cities would be willing to do it? And would they get the kind of support that would be necessary? Because it's a little different than most places across the United States where you have a built-in historic fan base in a sport that is, as far as demographics go, getting older and older and older. I'm sure there'd be some initial interest, but I do wonder, ticket revenue, how things would work, how do you make the money back, would it be worth it to a city to probably build a stadium through public financing? I feel like it's much more likely that Cincinnati ends up, you know, doing something, bending over backward to make it easier for ownership, which would involve some kind of BS.
Every time in every sport. It just happened with the Buffalo Bills.
Yep.
It happened with the Colts, leading to the most publicly financed stadium in the country. People are mad at Phil Castellini now, but at the end of the day, if he were to try to move the team when his dad dies, who would have the upper hand? It's always the sports team.
Teams,
and I don't like that it's that way, but that's how it is.
I would say perfect example, and I learned about this while I was in Seattle, but I don't think you're going to see, outside of maybe, you know, what we've seen in Oakland where they were playing both the Raiders and the A's at the Coliseum, which is legitimately a dump. Outside of that, I don't think that we are going to see teams willingly let a team walk away. because Seattle almost lost the Mariners back in 1995, 96, and the Mariners got good. Had the Mariners not gotten good, they actually might be in Indianapolis of all places, interestingly enough. But they were basically backed out of it because they had this incredible run in 1995. But they lost the Sonics. I think that for the most part, if we're talking a team in either football, baseball, or basketball, I think that if a team threatens to leave, people around the city are going to somehow find a way to force taxpayers to pay for some sort of new arena to keep the team in town. And we've just seen it so many different times recently that all it really is just saber-rattling. But it's funny because outside of maybe the city of Oakland, like every single local locality just falls in line. And if you're a voter, you're probably pissed off for the most part about it, that you have to pay extra taxes for it. But you probably would miss the team a couple of years later. And I think that that's – and I can't speak for it because I wasn't here during it. But when the Oilers left, I'm sure that there was a lot of people who were jaded afterwards, and some people who never came back. But they also thought to themselves, like, why the hell are we paying for this? Like, you own this team. You definitely have the money to do it.
You have the money. You have the resources.
And we just paid for extra things that were done to the Astrodome, which instead of that, maybe you should have thought up the new stadium as opposed to saying, oh, well, let's renovate this beat-up stadium.
Owners always have the upper hand, especially NFL owners, because a good NFL stadium – you host the Final Four. You host
concerts.
Like, it's, you know, Elton John, whatever. So it's like you host these big events. But yeah, owners always usually have the upper hand. You brought up a great question earlier.
Oh, yeah.
What do you do when a player says they hate your city? Speaking of cities and sports.
And I don't know how many people saw this, but there was a Philadelphia Phillies player. He's a third baseman. And he had a rough day. The first three innings, Alec Baum had three errors. So there's a point during the game where somebody saw on the close-up cameras him saying to the runner on third base, I bleeping hate it here.
Yikes.
After the game, some reporter actually asked him about it. And I got to give Alec Baum a lot of credit for the way that he handled himself. He was honest. He was forthright.
What about this video that surfaced and he's done about it and seen it?
Yeah, I've heard. You know, look, emotions got the best of me. You know, I said it. And do I mean it? No. And it's a frustrating night for me, obviously. You know, made a few mistakes in the field. And look, these people, these fans, they just want to win. And, I mean, you heard it. We come back. They're great. And, you know, I guess I'm sorry for them. You know, I don't mean that. And emotion just got the best of me.
So you actually love this place?
Yeah. You know what? I do. Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate his honesty that emotions got the best of me and all that. But when he's like, so you actually love it, that when he said, yeah, that was a lie.
What's crazy,
though, probably feels very neutral about it.
His next at bat, Vanessa, he got like a standing ovation for being honest.
Insane.
Well, this is just Philly in a nutshell. Like my mom's
that's so true.
My mom's family's from Philly. These people make no sense. Like they're so wrapped up in all of the sports teams. They get so worked up over everything. None of their teams ever win. They have a statue of Rocky. That's how much of a generally loser sports town Philadelphia is. Like a fictional person is one of their greatest athletes of all time. In addition to like the Mount Rushmore of Philadelphia sports is essentially Rocky, then it's Nick Foles, and it's Doug Peterson.
Yeah. They fired Doug, by the way.
Right. And then it's Mike Schmidt. No, it's not Mike Schmidt because they booed him. Oh, is it Chuck Bednarik? Yes, some like random Eagles player who played in like the 50s and 60s who no one actually watched play. This is who Philly is in a nutshell. It's just like tough, wants to beat the hell out of anybody who fails for them sports town. And there is a respect that comes with it, but that's exactly how you would expect Philly to handle somebody just being honest and forthless. Like, yeah, I told him to bleep off. I'm sorry. And they're like, yeah, we love this guy.
I knew that Philly was weird when the Eagles won the Super Bowl and people were doing something with feces on telephone poles.
They ate horse poop. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, it's hard for me to even talk about because that's so disgusting, but that's just issues. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galana, great win for the Astros last night. What our observations were and looking ahead to their schedule and their home opener. That's next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.